I want to look at God's word here in John chapter 21. John chapter 21. John chapter 21. While you're, have you get there, and then we'll pray, and then we will look at this passage of scripture. We will be in the first 14 verses of this passage of scripture here tonight. Let's go to the Lord and ask for his blessing, and then we will look at this passage of scripture. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for this evening. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to present your word. And Father, I really do need your help tonight. Lord, I don't want to say anything that I ought not to. This is your house. And so, Father, I pray that we would be faithful. Father, I pray that you would help us in our lives, Lord, to respond to your spirit. And Lord, I just ask that all that's said and done tonight, Lord, would encourage hearts. Lord, it would stir our hearts to draw closer to thyself. And Lord Jesus, I thank you for what an amazing, wonderful, and kind and caring Savior you are. May all that's said and done truly honor you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for salvation. And Lord, may this truly be honoring to you. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. In John chapter 21, verse 1, we'll read the first 14 verses and look at the context, what's going on here. It says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. And as we're going to look at tonight, I've entitled this A Leader's Provision, A Leader's Provision. In John chapter 20, verse 31, just a few verses before this, these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. And our goal in the Christian life is to have the abundant life. And that comes, as it says here in the scriptures, through Jesus Christ. And the issue in a lot of lives is reminiscent of really what's going on here with the disciples in this story. When Jesus was crucified, what happened? All of the disciples, they scattered, they went into fear, shame, they were left empty. Their leader was gone. And they were left without direction. Their leader, Jesus, to whom they thought he was the redeeming Messiah to rid Israel of Roman rule. And so now here are the apostles, the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're out fishing. And they obviously encountered the Lord. They had all the tools, all the teachings of Christ, but they had not fully internalized the incidents surrounding Christ's death. Now, in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, the Lord Jesus Christ is telling his disciples, I'm going to die, but I'm coming back. And the scene here is a very intimate time of correction and guidance with the Lord Jesus Christ. They're on the beach. They're sitting around a fire pit here. And they've finished a very long and toilsome and laborious night. I mean, they're just absolutely exhausted. They've been fishing all night, and they came back with nothing until the Lord reached out to them. And I'll talk about that here shortly. But Jesus Christ returns to direct his apostles before he ascends into heaven. And just days before he does. And he's going to take over leadership, and he's transitioning the leadership. Jesus started the church, and he's transitioning to his apostles, giving them the final steps of leadership of what they need to do in moving forward. They're going to be the ones to carry it on, carry on the work. They're the ones that carry on the institution of the church, starting more churches. And the truth is, tonight, if we are to do more for the Lord Jesus, then we must leave our nets and follow Christ's leadership. And I'm not saying leaving our jobs. What I'm saying is as I'll be talking about, the fact is, when Christ tells us to do something, we follow. In whatever circumstances there are of life that would seek to derail us, we cannot retreat to our old way. And we find here in the disciples, they were just totally lost. They thought, man, the Jesus that we thought, he's gone. They said, now it's the third time they've seen him. But still in their life, they're just uncertain. What are we supposed to do? We've spent 3.5 years with him. I mean, our whole world has been turned upside down. We left all and we followed him. We left fishing and we went back. And we followed him for 3.5 years only to see him die and crucified. Yes, we've seen him afterwards, but we still don't know what we're supposed to do. John chapter 21 is the Lord Jesus giving that leadership just to get his disciples to the next step to let them know, here's my plan for you. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, we understand that Jesus wants to be our leader and our guide. You see, leadership, it looks out amongst its people, looks out amongst those to whom it's leading, and it seeks to give extra attention where it's needed. In Matthew 9:36, but when he saw the multitude, speaking of Jesus, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And Jesus realizes, I'm leaving. I'm going. I'm going to ascend into heaven. I'm going to be gone. And I need these sheep, these people that have been following me 3.5 years. They need guidance. They need leadership. In verses 1 through 3, as we look at it, we find something. I've entitled this subpoint here as an absent leader. The place of meeting, he was absent on the fact that Jesus had come back. He was absent because as they look around, and Peter's like, what are we supposed to do? We've been with Jesus. I don't know. Let's go fishing. And you know what? Something that happens in our lives, the tragedies and hurts and unsettling times of life, they leave us empty. And they may even leave us abandoned of the leadership we thought we had. And Jesus clearly told his disciples, though, in Matthew 26:32, he says, but after I am risen again, I will go before you into where? Galilee. The Sea of Tiberias is the Sea of Galilee. Let me read a little bit of history on this. In John chapter 6, verse 1, it says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. But a little bit of cultural understanding of the Sea of Tiberias, it says, the Sea of Tiberias, or Galilee, played an important role in the Bible. It is a place where Jesus and Peter walked on the water. It was a place where the storm was calmed by the Lord. It was also the location of the demons that were cast into the pigs and drowned in the sea. It plays a great role today because of the water crisis in the Middle East. It was here that 7 disciples gathered together. What had brought them together? What did they have in common? The answer was their love for Christ. And the fault, many times, of our spiritual walk in the absence of God from our lives is not Christ leaving us, but us leaving him. It is our failure to remember what our leader has told us. The angel remind them in Matthew chapter 28, verse 7, it says, and he go quickly and tells disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. The reason why that he was an absent leader to these disciples is they did not expect him where he said he would be. And they were totally aghast. They thought there's some stranger on the land. And Jesus, though, was very consistent with what he says. And Jesus had an appointment to meet with these men while they were out working. These men were busy. They didn't want to stay idle. They couldn't stay around and do nothing and be like, well, we got to get a job. We got to make some money. We followed Jesus for 3.5 years. I don't know what the purpose of it is. But hey, we did something for God and maybe something will happen from here. But we don't know. Let's go fishing. Let's just wait. And Peter was restless and he went to work. He didn't have clear direction after he had denied the Lord. Peter's life can be like ours, where the Lord seems distant from us. And when the Lord seems distant from us, what do we tend to do? we resort to what we know. And it leaves us empty. You go back to something, and life and tragedies happen, and you go to something to find some satisfaction out of life. And the disciples were reeling from the what they perceived as the unjustified death, the innocence of their leader and friend, and they felt unsure of life. Maybe that's happened in your life, a tragedy or extremely unexpected event occurred in your life, and you're shell-shocked and uncertain what to do. And there are times that we can feel a barrenness in our hearts and minds, even though we've given all to serve the Lord. And in Luke chapter 5, verses 10 through 11, chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. And so here's Peter and the disciples and those who were listed as fishermen. I mean, they left their trades. They gave it up for 3.5 years to follow Jesus. Have you ever done something you thought, man, this is what God wants me to do, and then something happens in your life and you're just left wondering, like, why did this happen? Where is God in all of this? It almost seemed as though there was an abandonment from Christ at the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, obviously, he was taken and left wondering what to do. But our direction from life many times needs to come from our true spiritual leaders, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Our need is not to return the old paths, the familiar ways of life, the familiar path, but to learn the sure promises of God and say, God, what have you given me to do? And see, the issue many times in our lives is, as we think about an absent leader, we don't know where to look for him. We don't know how to find him. I don't know how to get God's will for my life, and he seems absent. But the fact remains that his presence is exactly where he told us. Matthew 26, 32, he says, I will go before you into Galilee. In Jeremiah 29, 13, you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. In John 15, 4, abide in me and I in you. The fact remains, and the truth is, that Jesus is saying, I'm going to be here right with you. And whatever the reason that kept these disciples from truly seeking Christ, one thing is certain, they needed a little bit more leadership. They need a little bit more guidance, a little bit more wisdom from God before they were ready to embark on setting the world upside down. As was given testimony there in the book of Acts. And they needed the confidence of Christ to get them to push forward for the mammoth task that lay ahead of them. What was that mammoth task? The Great Commission. And Peter, we find in this passage of Scripture, is still very influential over the other disciples. And they said, well, if Peter's going, we'll go, we'll follow you. But Peter's ambitions at that time were merely temporary gains, just financial. You know what, let's just pay our bills, let's go on in life. We don't know what, and Peter was an impulsive man who acted many times by his feelings more so than he did by the wisdom of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ not come back from the grave and refocus his disciples. Had he not come back from the grave, we wouldn't have Christianity. But had he not showed himself to disciples to get them focused on it, I wonder if we'd have the churches and Christianity we have today. Jesus knew I needed a little bit more time with them. I needed to prove to them that I am the Savior. I am God. I have fulfilled prophecy. And men, Peter, you messed up. You denied me. That's okay, Peter. I forgive you. And you see, without Christ, we can do nothing. And John 15, 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. And you know what? An absent leader in your life is not because Jesus is absent from you or God is unavailable. It's many times because we're not looking for him where he said he would be. See, Jesus says, I'm gonna go to Galilee. And the fact remains that Jesus does not abandon and leave his own. He says, John 16, 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And Jesus here in John 16, 7, he says, listen, the Comforter, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit of God is going to come upon you, and he's going to comfort you and help you and be with you. And in John chapter 20, verse 22, if you still have your Bible open to John chapter 20, or 21, verse 20, chapter 20, verse 22, look with me here, John 20, verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And so here are the disciples, the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Obviously, Judas isn't here. But after his resurrection, Jesus, he's giving to them the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. They had what they needed to move forward, but they didn't quite know how to access God. They didn't know what to do with this. And so the third time, Jesus meets with his disciples to give them a little bit more information, a little bit more leadership. And you know what? As a good leader, he reaches down and he knows where his people are at. He says, you know what? They need me. I can't quite leave yet. I've got to prepare them for what lies ahead. And Jesus does that. And yes, he seems absent from them. And they had the Holy Spirit of God there. But they didn't know how to walk with God yet. And then in verses 4 through 6, not only is he an absent leader, he's an unknown leader. Verse 4, in our passage of Scripture here in John chapter 21, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. You see, our understanding many times of our absence of God in our lives is because we don't know him. We're unaware of his continual presence with us, and Jesus would see the disciples, he'd speak to them, but they just thought it was some man on the shore. It was not until he acted that they knew who he was. And when he says, children, have ye any meat? And then verse 6, he says, cast the net on the right side of the ship. You know what? In some ways, as a Christian, a person can say, I am a Christian all day long. But they're not known as a Christian until they act like one. And when Jesus told them, men, put your net on the other side. And they listened. They began to have tremendous 153 fish. You see, God's wisdom helps us to be productive for the Lord, and a lack of adherence to godly wisdom would have resulted in a lack of fish. If their lives, they said, we've been out here all night. What in the world is switching the net from one side to the other side? Now, this is the second time he's told them to put your net on the other side. But if you're thinking about it, just from a mere practical application, you have your net, this large net, underneath your boat. What's it matter if it's on one side or the other side? Doesn't seem like it would matter. But they didn't know until finally he tells them, they obey, and they realize, whoa, that's Jesus. Many times in our lives, we're not willing to listen to instruction from God because we don't know his voice. We're not willing to step out by faith. The church of Laodicea didn't know Christ's voice because they were too busy with their own endeavors. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. They didn't know. Christ was external to the door. They were doing church, but they weren't doing it with Christ in the center of it. And if we're doing anything in our life opposite of God's calling in our life, then we're going to be empty. We're going to be like, you come back and you're just empty. We've toiled all night. I feel like I've been fighting the battles and I don't know what to do. I'm totally empty. And Jesus says, let's try something else. Let's do this. You know what? I need leadership. All of us need leadership. And you're not going to know the leader, the Lord Jesus Christ, closely unless you listen to him. And you have to know where he's going to be. And he says, if you come unto me all you that weary and heavy laden, I have to come in a state of brokenness and humility as I come before him. And something interesting here is in Luke chapter 5, verse 5. Here in this case, Peter is immediately responsive to casting the net on the other side. But in Luke chapter 5, verse 5, Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. He's saying, listen, we've done it all night. It doesn't make sense, but I guess we'll try it. Can't hurt. You see something here on this unknown leader, that a proper focus on obedience to the right leader, the Lord Jesus Christ, always yields blessings. This time the abundance of fish was not breaking their nets, as seen in Luke 5, 3-7, but we also have the disciples being much more submissive. Notice also his observance here. He's standing on the shore and he's watching his men. He sees their struggles. He sees their heartache. They're working with no rewards. And sometimes you might be thinking, man, Lord, you don't know how hard my life is. Or you don't know all that I'm doing. And as we find here, he's watching. That leader's watching. He's watching us. And you might think, Lord, I'm doing all of this, but there's no rewards. There's no joy. I'm exhausted. I'm worn out. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 2, he says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience. And see, God is watching us, and the leader's watching, a good leader. He's watching, he's observing, he's knowing what's going on. And if you're leading others in your life, you're watching and trying to figure out where they're at and their struggles and their heartaches and trying to make life a little easier. And we can lose sight easily. Here are the disciples. I mean, they had the Holy Ghost. God had given it to them. And yet they're just still empty because they don't really know him and all that he wants. And so as a loving and caring leader, he comes back and he's watching from shore. And, oh, my men, I've got so much more for you. And Jesus stood on the shore watching. And you know what? In John 15:5, if we're not connected to the vine, we do find ourselves. He says, for without me ye can do nothing. Jesus Christ would even interject in verse 6 to give guidance on how to be fruitful in their particular secular endeavor. He says, men, I know you've toiled all night. Let's take the net. And you know what? God's desire as a loving leader is to have his men be productive, to have his men do more for him. And the truth might be in our lives, the very fact is we feel the emptiness of life because he's an unknown leader. I'm not looking at him for my guidance and direction. He's watching me. And he's looking at me going, oh, man, oh, they're hurting. And he even says, children, have you any meat? He says, have you eaten breakfast? You know, God knows what we're going through. I like what John Phillips, he talked about his calling into the ministry and how he had been toiling for so long in emptiness. He said, after I'd been in full-time Christian service for some 15 years, circumstances arose that led to my resigning from further involvement in a particular Christian enterprise. The situation was not a happy one. So discouraged and in a measure disillusioned, I went back into secular employment. I worked for a large corporation owned by a very good friend of mine. The work was interesting. My friend was supportive. I had some good friends in the corporation. My immediate boss was a very close friend. The salary was attractive. The possibilities were inviting. I stayed there trying to convince myself that I was through forever with full-time Christian work, and I was thoroughly miserable. Like Peter, I toiled all night, so to speak, and caught nothing. One of my colleagues came one night when I was preaching in a local church near where I lived. He said, if I could preach like that, I'd sure not waste my time working for a trucking company, even if the big boss was my friend. The Lord allowed me to toil on at that job for a year, allowing me to become more and more dissatisfied with my decision. Then one day, a Christian friend of mine took me out for lunch. He was a retired and successful businessman, a wise man, the elder in one of the churches where I ministered on weekend. He was blunt about it. John, he said to me, you are wasting your time. I knew he was right. Within a month, I was back in full-time Christian work. The Lord was no more in my decision to go back into secular work than he was in Peter's decision to start fishing again. And here is Jesus saying, Peter, I need to get you back realigned. Peter, I don't want you fishing. I don't want you there in the secular employment. Peter, I have a plan for your life. And you realize when Jesus said that at the latter portion of verse 6, we're going to look at the third point, an adored leader. Because he says, they cast therefore, and now we're not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. And therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord! Peter didn't know. John did. The disciple loved by the Lord was John, and so he's referenced in Scripture. And John, the Apostle John, states, look it, it's the Lord. And Peter didn't recognize him. You remember the last scene that Peter had seen the Lord. I mean, obviously they'd seen him twice before this, but before he died, Peter denied Christ three times. And not even to make matters worse, in that act of denial after he denied him three times, Jesus looks out from the court where he's in waiting trial or wherever he's at, and he catches the eye of Peter. And Peter catches the Lord Jesus' eye. And he goes out in shame and weeping. He wept bitterly, as it says there in Luke 22. And you know what? A good leader will realize we mess up. A good leader is going to say, you know what? I see great things. He says, Peter, an adored leader. And I like what it says in Psalm 63, a psalm of David. When he was in the wilderness of Judah, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Notice what Peter did. I mean, Peter's one of those impulsive people, but Peter was a man that loved greatly. I mean, and remember, he cut off the ear of that very gentleman in the garden. I mean, Peter's like, hey, Lord, I'm going to defend you. Whack. He whacks it off, and no sooner does he whack the ear off, hey, he's denying the Lord three times. But you know what? Peter didn't care. He said, that's my leader. Whatever he wants, I'm going to do it. Peter had a focus again. Peter got his life back, and he got aligned to where he needed to go in life. You had an absent leader. You had an unknown leader, but now you have an adored leader because he's recognized. Have you ever had shame because of maybe how you treated someone you truly adored? When you see them again, they speak to you in such gentle words, a wave of guilt maybe come over to you. You see Peter going from absolute denial to denial of self. I mean, he jumps out of the boat and he's just like running through the water, right? I mean, he's just trucking there. He says, I don't care what I look like. That's my Lord and I'm going to be with him. Because Peter knew that the Lord loved him. And there's a love. Peter's value was upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter valued Christ this time, just as Mary did. Remember the scenario there in the Bible in Luke chapter 10, and Mary and Martha, and Martha's worried about, you know, I got to get all this stuff ready, and we're having dinner, and I got to get all this food ready, and get the house ready, and do all this stuff, and Mary, aren't you going to help me? And Mary's just sitting at the feet of Jesus, and Peter says, that's my leader. He realizes that Jesus is getting his men refocused. He says, I've got a great plan for you. And as a leader's provision, a leader comes back and says, you know what? I need to get you ready for the next step. I need to get you ready for what's going on from here. Some have described faith as forsaking all, I trust him. And Jesus comes back and says, men, I don't want you fishing. I'll bless you in it. But men, that's not what I want you to do. He says, men, I want you to get refocused. I've got a plan for you. And it could be maybe you feel at your lowest and most empty. You feel abandoned and uncertain of your future. The Lord shows up. And if we're tender to him, the love of Christ comforts and encourages us and it focuses us. And something else we find here in the passages of Scripture, verses 5 and 6, we find out he is a sufficient leader. And then also in verses 9 through 14, and they saw a fire of coals there, and he'd already created a fire there on land. He says, I'm going to meet with my men. I'm going to spend some time with them. They need me. They need direction. They're lost. And as a good leader, he sits down, he prepares everything, and he says, men, let's chat. Let's make some breakfast. He's seeing the needs of his men. He knows of their struggles, their emptiness, and their labors. When he says that term, children, it's as a form of a familiar address on the part of a respected person who feels himself on the terms of a fatherly intimacy with those whom he addresses. There from a lexicon states that word there, but nevertheless, as a father over his children, not necessarily. Now remember that Jesus is still in his 30s. And we don't necessarily know the ages of these men, but might be around the same age. But he calls them children. He does it there's an expression of his love and his care for them. Now, obviously, he is God of all gods. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. But he knows of these men's struggles and emptiness and labors. Jesus is a young man. He knows of their exhaustion. They've toiled all night. And they could very well be older than him, but, you know, he knows where they're at. He's a sufficient leader and he cares for them. And when the Lord may seem distant, he's on the shore watching you. He's calling out to you. He's giving instruction to you in a manner that'll provide for all your needs. And he even mentions meat, and the idea is, have they eaten breakfast yet? You know what? Jesus cares for our physical needs, but he also cares for our emotional needs. In Matthew 11:28, as I just preached several weeks on Matthew 11:28-30, about coming unto him and taking my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Verse 30, and with the Lord Jesus Christ, there is always adequate provision. And Jesus would take the command of these men. And as he would, you'd go down in the passage of Scripture, and Jesus would ask Simon Peter 3 times, lovest thou me more than these? And the 3 times, and Peter would profess, yes, yea, Lord, and you know that I love you. Jesus realizes, here's some men, they're just a little bit lost. A little bit bewildered. They're a little bit out of guidance for life. They just need to get refocused. Okay, I'm going to meet with my men before I go. Jesus would take command of them. He'd see them. They didn't question his instructions nor his invitation. They sat down with him. And you want to know the wonderful truth? Come and dine. And you know what? That invitation still exists today. Come and dine. And I can sit down with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and I can dine on his wisdom and his guidance. When we are adequately supplied by the Lord and intimately know him, we are willing to do whatever he requests, wherever he requests, and even if it's an inconvenience. So I come to the conclusion this evening, like Peter and the rest of the disciples, our jobs and ways of life can easily get us out of focus. We need to put the Lord Jesus back into the right preeminent position, but if you want to think about it, just from the leadership qualities that are here, Jesus looks at his men and says, I seem absent to them. I seem unknown. They don't really know me. And Jesus sits down in a very personal time, intimate time with his men. He said, come and dine. Jesus takes bread and he eats with them. There's a hospitality. And he extends to them. He says, you know, I know they've toiled all night. He's watching them from shore. Man, it must be hard. Men, have you eaten any breakfast? And the truth is, if we come away with the truths from tonight, we need to make Christ the absolute focus. He is a leader that he's watching us. He may seem absent. He might seem unknown, but the truth is when we discover him, he's adored and he is sufficient. And he's totally sufficient for our every physical, spiritual, and emotional needs. As you would even see in Peter's actions of a great provision for his fish, for his stomach, a running to Christ for fellowship and a spiritual nourishment and being challenged by Christ to just follow him, which you'll find in verse 22. See, Jesus never abandoned his disciples. He established them. He focused them. He guided them. And he knew where they were at. And as a leader, he said, okay, men, I know where you're at. And as a leader, he stepped with them step by step. He'd send them out 2 by 2 during his ministry, and they'd come back. He was never absent. And even when he physically left, he says, men, I'm sending you a comforter. And just as you and I have today, a comforter of God with us, we're not left absent. He might seem unknown, he might seem absent, but my friend, he's watching. And Christ is the question for you tonight, and a leader's provision is Christ sufficient for you, and are you truly focused on him? Maybe you take away from some things, some ideas of leadership here, of looking out and watching to where your people are at, those to whom you lead, and maybe your family. What is it that they need? But the focus tonight is with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is watching us, and he knows what we're going through. And the fact is, when he says, cast on the other side, and God gives us command, our responsibility is just to follow. When we get to see him, and we begin to see God work in our lives, we ought to have the same characteristic of Peter and saying, Lord, I'm coming. I might look foolish, but I don't care. That's my Lord. As I conclude this message this evening, a leader's provision. You know what? Jesus exemplified leadership. He watched out for his men, and he knew what they needed before it was his time to go. And he knew what to give them before it was his time to leave. And my friend, you know what? God gives us exactly what we need now. He guides us. He directs us. He doesn't leave us absent. The fact remains, sometimes he does seem absent. He does seem unknown. But he's right where he told us he's going to be. He was there in Galilee where he said he was going to be. And maybe in our lives, if he seems absent, seems unknown, maybe it's because we haven't been where he is. We haven't been spending time in the Word of God like we ought to. It could very well be that he seems absent and unknown because you've never come to know him as your personal Savior. You've never been born again. Maybe you prayed a prayer, or maybe you pray, God, forgive me of my sins, but you've never put your full and complete faith in Jesus Christ to forgive you and be your Savior. If you've never done that, my friend, I would encourage you, tonight is the night to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Don't let it go another night. Don't let it go another day. And Christian, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is watching. He is all I need. He is my provision. He is a loving leader that cares and watches for you and me. And my friend, if you've never accepted Christ, would you do that? If you don't know, feel free to reach out to us. If you're a Christian, you're struggling, I'd love to show you the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, would we walk away from this knowing that Christ is a sufficient leader? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for this day. And Father, I thank you for your goodness and mercy and grace in our lives. Father, I thank you that as Peter and the other disciples were out fishing, and Lord, they were unknowing of what to do, that in the same way, Lord, you watched them to give them guidance before you left. Father, you don't leave us empty. You don't abandon us. God, you're with us each step of the way. The only time you're absent and unknown is, Lord, when we deviate from what we ought to do. And Father, I pray that we would find that same reassurance and we would come and dine with you. Father, I pray for that individual. Lord, oh, how I pray for their individual who's unsaved. They've never been born again. They cannot give a Bible reason why they know they're going to heaven. They can think they are, they hope they are, they wish they are, they're pretty sure they are, but they're not 100% certain. Lord, I pray tonight that they would settle that decision. And Father, that they would walk, they would ask Jesus Christ to forgive them of their sins, trusting exclusively in Jesus, not in church, baptism, good works, anything else, trusting only in you. In simple faith, call out and ask you to be their Savior and forgive them. And Lord, I know you will forgive them if they'll ask in simple faith. And Father, for those of us as Christians, would we realize, Lord, you're watching us. You know the toils we're going through. And Lord, you're waiting for us sometimes just to get back. Get back from toiling all night and just to spend some time with you. To get refocused, recharged, to do all that you've called us to do. And Lord, I pray that we would answer that call. Whatever it may be, I pray that you encourage those who are discouraged, those who are maybe sick or other things going on in their life. Lord, I pray that you'd help them. Father, would you be glorified? I sure love you. And I thank you. What a marvelous Savior you are. In Jesus' precious name, I pray.